Ah. Okay. We'll begin on that Zayin Amud Aleph, all the way up on top. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi. We have some charged Gemaras coming up. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispalel. How do we know that Hashem davens? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, Vav Yosim El Har Kodshi. I will bring them. This is Hashem saying what's going to be in the future. I will bring them to my Kodesh mountain, Tabais, V'simachtim Beveis Tefilosi, and I'll gladden them in my house of prayer, or more literally, in the house of my prayer. Tefilosam Lo Ne'emar. Beis HaMikdash is called the house of my prayer. It's not called the house of their prayer, Ela Tefilosi. It's called the house of my prayer. Mikan Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mispal. This shows us that yes, Hashem davens. What is this supposed to mean? We'll see. Now, my matzli, what does he daven? Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Omar Rav. He davens as follows. Yiratzoin milfonai, may it be my will, Sheikhbishura Khamayas Kasi, that my mercy will suppress my anger, Veagoilura Khamayal Midoisai, and that my mercy will simply run over all my other midas, Vesnahegim Bodai Bemidas Rachamim, and I'll always act with my children with the mid of Rachamim, Vekonetzlem Lifnimi Shuasadin. And I'll treat them beyond the letter of the law. They'll get more than what they're deserving. That's Hashem's tefillah. So what does this mean? Who's Hashem davening to exactly? So, the Mepharshim, it's actually interesting. Already from the Rashba, down to Venus and Ibishitz and others, note that the Goyim took this Gemara to town, and that the Karaites took this Gemara to town. Look at what Chazal say about Hashem. But the Rashba, the Maharal, and others say that, once again, there's a lot of depth here, that on the contrary, Chazal hid it from the people who weren't worthy. But what is tefillah? So, actually what tefillah is a person's innermost yearnings. Expressing his innermost yearnings. That's what tefillah is. And we have to understand that first in the perspective of our tefillah, then we can go on and apply it to Hashem's tefillahs. Say you're daven for something, you don't necessarily your deepest yearning. Not everything you daven for is your deepest yearning. But yet, that's really what the term tefillah is coming from. It's denoting what a person's whole mind, what a person's whole focus is on. What a person is, his whole essence is yearning to do. So the truth is that, yeah, we kind of have to redefine what we're doing in our tefillah. Chavis Talvavis already says, we mistake what tefillah is. We think that tefillah is something technical. When you're sitting at the table, you need someone to pass you the salt, here's Hashem to pass you the salt. Right? You want a little more parnasa, here's Hashem to pass some more parnasa. You have to daven sometimes a little harder, because sometimes Hashem doesn't want to pass the parnasa. Then you have to daven a little harder. You have to convince Hashem. Come on, Hashem, it's kedai for you. It'll work out well. But that's not what tefillah is. Tefillah, really, the essence of tefillah is connecting with Hashem. The way the Chovetz Chaim puts it is that tefillah, actually getting what you want out of tefillah, is what we'll call a fringe benefit of tefillah. Tefillah, the way Chovetz Chaim puts it, is the nefesh expressing its yearning for Hashem, trying to connect with Hashem. And even in our requests, even the things that we do ask for, really what it is just expressing that acknowledgement that we're completely dependent on Hashem. Now, Hashem gives us needs in order to give us a means of connecting to Him through tefillah. That's what the needs are for, in many cases. But actually, what the tefillah really is doing is, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have Hashem, who's waiting for us to turn to Him. Kiviyachol. He wants to have that close relationship with us. He wants to be talking to us on a regular basis. And therefore, He gives us needs. Now, the question is, are we going to be like the kid who says, you know, just, he's away in school. His whole connection with his parents is every so often he sends home a letter, Dad, I need money. Or are we going to appreciate what Hashem is doing through giving us those needs and really connect to Him? So actually, every time you need something, it should really be a means of expressing deeper inner yearnings. Connecting to Hashem on a deeper level. Yeah, it's true. This need that you're davening right now doesn't necessarily have to be the most pressing need. When the purpose of the tefillah is, now I have another excuse to get in touch with Hashem, you can put heartfelt tefillah into smaller requests. Things you don't feel your whole life depends on. A business deal, it's not going to make it or break it for me. I'd like it to work, it'll be nice. I'm fine without it. If you like it to work, you get in touch with Hashem. Hashem, I have a request. It's another means of connecting. Mamela, really, that's what, when we're talking about Hashem's tefillah here, what it really means is, this is Hashem's innermost feelings, thoughts. This is what His focus is. This is what He wants most of all. This is basically the way the Rashba, Maral, and others put it. We'll see it taken a step further soon. Hashem wants us to do well. Hashem wants us to do well. That's what the world is set up for. Hashem is asking what the root of the word tefillah is. It's from the word pelel. Pelel means inner thoughts. That's what the way the Maral breaks it down. For example, plilim is judgment. Right? In modern Hebrew, you call plilim means criminal justice. But in the Torah, plilim just means judgment, meaning the dayanim. For dayanim, judging a case is an intense thought process. Now, we throw that in together with Ro'oi Fanecha Lo'i Filolti that we saw just a couple of weeks, that we saw last week. Right? When Yaakov tells Yosef, I never thought to see your face. Lo'i Filolti. It's also from the same Lashon of Tefillah, thinking as in yearning. But the Maral says it's even a little more than that. Meaning, you said it was even beyond me to yearn to see your face. The Maral says it's a little more than that. These are inner thoughts that mamish define what the essence of a person is. When a person is mefalo, his whole focus is on something. This means everything to me. That's really what tefillah is. Very good. Rabbi Yaakov is pointing out, you actually see this in the tefillah. We end off our requests not by punctuating the request, but by Baruch Atah Hashem Vefecha Le'amo Yisrael. We say, Blessed are you Hashem. And at the end of the day, we come away from the bracha with a deeper understanding that yes, it's Hashem who heals. And that yes, it's Hashem who provides panos. What's that? No. We didn't say it has nothing to do with requests. We said that... No. One minute. We said that requests... Getting your request is not the main point of tefillah. It's a fringe benefit. The request, or the need, is more of a means of connecting with Hashem. You express that connection with Hashem through asking for your needs. That's why Hashem gave us needs. The biggest chesed that Hashem did for us, more than providing us with parnasa, was providing us with the need for parnasa. Because it's through those needs that we are woken up to daven to Him. And that's what connects us to Him. No, that's just coming to define the root of the word. Coming to show the root of the word is deep inner thoughts or feelings. So tefillah is expressing your deep inner thoughts and yearnings. That's what tefillah is.
Now,
in the essential meaning of the word tefillah, doesn't have to do with requests. Practically, it will often be requests. Whatever your deep innermost thoughts and yearnings are. Now with Hashem, so how do we apply this to Hashem? So, Hashem's deepest and innermost kiveyachol yearnings are to provide us with good, and for us to do well, for us to succeed. That's why we're here. Hashem didn't put us in this world, so to speak. You know, Hashem put us here to test us. Doesn't mean to test us in the sense of God throws us into the water, now let's see you do it. Hashem is testing us because He wants us to succeed. It's like a parent who's setting his kid up. He wants to see his son do well. And that's being expressed through Hashem's tefillahs here. That's actually what's being expressed in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem gave us a Beis HaMikdash, which is a means of connecting to Him, of perfecting ourselves, of gaining our success in this world. So that's actually what's being expressed here. Hashem's tefillah is, meaning, what Hashem's innermost yearning is, what Hashem wants most of all, is that yes, He should just be merciful upon us, etc., etc. That depends on our performance. So that's... That's true, but Hashem in general wants to be dealing with us mercifully. He wants to be giving us a pleasant existence, which depends on Rachamim. He wants us to be enjoying this life too, and that depends on us.
If you're Hashem's davening, then His Rachamim should overpower everything else. Does it actually raise the Rachamim?
Oh, so the truth is, so first of all, so how does it work? Who is He davening to? So the truth is, we can either stop here and simply say it's not about requesting. It's simply Hashem is showing us what His innermost yearnings are. That's all. But actually, this, the Tzlach, the Sinai de Yehuda, and Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz take it a step further and they say something, it's kind of mind-boggling. I would even feel funny saying it. He says, you know who He's davening to? Anybody? No? Us. He's davening to us. Scary words to say. But the Neid of Yehuda and Rabbeinus and Eibishitz both say it. It's got a lot of weight. He's making that request to us. He's expressing through the Beis HaMikdash, please, B'nai Yisrael, I want my rachamim to prevail. I want my rachamim to come. Please, make it work. Now, Rabbeinus and Eibishitz and the Tzlach both say it sounds very strange. But look, you see that the Navi is full of Hashem's supplications, of Hashem's pleas to call you so. What are you going to say? As the judge is saying, Hashem, it certainly wasn't Hashem's plan to wipe out the world. Right? Well, add even more than that. It's not just that Hashem doesn't want to wipe us out. He wants us to gain the maximum that we can gain out of being created. That's what He created us for. He created us because, in order to bestow upon us the best He can possibly give. So, He gave us the Torah, that's right. He gave us the Beis HaMikdash. These are all Hashem's ways of expressing, I want you to succeed. And so both the Tzlach and Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz both say, shouldn't sound so strange. The Navi is full of it. Hashem is busy through the Navim, supplicating, pleading with Klal Yisrael. A lot of examples. We don't have to go very far. Hashivu v'chiyu, do tshuva. I want you to continue living. Kilech v'itz b'may sameis. I don't want you to go lost. Hashem is full of that in the Torah. B'chal to b'chayim. Hashem is, so to speak, requesting, commanding, cajoling, right? Do well, do well. You're all set up for success. You're all set up for success. And that's all I want to see. Those are Hashem's tefillahs. Now, let's see this taken a step further. Tanya. It says in the Braise, now, I'm sure many people know this as a song, but it's actually a Gemara too. Famous song. Well, accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillah means doing everything right. And Mimela, yes, it's a symbiotic relationship. Let's see now. We'll basically see what you just said illustrated now. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Says in the Braiser, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was the Kohen Gadol. Pamachas nichnasti lahaktir ketoires lifnai vilifnim. I one time went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to offer the ketoires on Yom Kippur. Ve'ra'isi akasriel. He says he had a vision. I saw akasriel. It's one of the names of Hashem. Ko Hashem tzevokos. Remember, she sings whatever he saw. Basically, it was a very, very all-encompassing vision. He's saying the name of Hashem expressed basically in every possible way. Akasriel ko Hashem tzvokos. Sheyoshev al kisei rom v'nisa. Sitting on the high and glorious throne. The Omali. What did Hashem say to him? Yishmael b'ni. Yishmael my son. Borecheni. Bless me. So I told him, you imagine, Rabbi Shmuel didn't lose his cool. He took it in stride. Okay. Be your will. That your rachamim will suppress your anger, your wrath. And your rachamim will simply spill over all your other midas. You'll act with your children with the mid of rachamim, and you'll go with them beyond the letter of the law, more than what's coming to them. So what did Hashem say to this bracha? He nodded his head. Hashem liked the bracha. Hashem liked the bracha. Yeah. So what? The same? Oh, and the four different phrases. The different mepharshim give different explanations about what each of the four is coming to include. But yeah, the general gist is understood. So here we're actually taking it a step further. Hashem is asking for a bracha. So here, we'll move on to the next level of what we started discussing. This is the way the Rashba, the Maharal, Nefesh HaChaim, the way they put it down is as follows. First of all, what does it mean to bless Hashem? We're busy blessing Hashem all the time. We bless Hashem. V'chalta v'savalta v'erachta es Hashem. Eat, be satiated, and bless Hashem. What does blessing Hashem mean? Baruch atah Hashem. We're doing it all the time. What does it mean to bless Hashem? So, if we understand. Let's define that. So we're not going to be enhancing Hashem's existence in any way. There's nothing to enhance. Hashem is the ultimate. A bracha generally is coming to enhance something, right? So actually what it's enhancing is, this is a very fundamental understanding. Hashem created, so to speak, an existence that's outside of Him. Our world, right? Now, Hashem is connected to the world. Hashem wants to be brought into the world. The more we bring Hashem into the world, the more blessing there is in the world. It's bracha. When Hashem says, bless me, what he means is, blessing, the word bracha, the simple connotation of the word bracha, is addition. Enhancement quantity-wise, meaning more. That's what bracha is. What's that? Yes. To be brought all the way into this world. That's right. So, bracha means enhancement. That's what the word bracha means. Adding. Yeah. So, by saying that we're being mevarech Hashem, what it means is, we're bringing more of Hashem into our world. That's what it means. Or, if we'll put it in other terms, the way Nefesh HaChaim puts it, Chaim V'Loshiner, we are adding his connection to our world. We're widening his connection, so to speak. There's a pipe, so to speak, if you want to picture it that way. That's actually the terms used in these Sfarim. There are pipes bringing Hashem's bounty, bringing what Hashem is giving into this world. The question is, if we want to broaden it, if we want to widen it, and thus allow, so to speak, more of Hashem to come into this world. Now, we're the only ones gaining out of that, right? More of Hashem in this world means more blessing in this world. Any lack, any problem in this world is just a result of Hester, of the fact that Hashem, so to speak, His presence is not manifest in that spot. That's the root of any problem, whatever sort of problem it might be. Therefore, the more of Hashem we bring into this world, the better off we do. So therefore, bracha means, Hashem is saying, kiviyachol, expand my presence in this world. Expand my connection with you. That's the bracha that Hashem is asking for, kiviyachol. And exactly, by recognizing Hashem is one. That's it. By recognizing Hashem as one, by conforming to His will, by representing Hashem as we discussed the other day, we bring more and more of Hashem into this world. Now that, at the end of the day, can only be provided by us. Hashem set the world up such that we're the ones who lamaisa pull the strings. And that's why Hashem is asking Rabbi Shmuel. He said, this is what I want. This is what I want. I just want to be pouring out more of myself to you. But you need to do it. I can't do it without you doing it. You give me that bracha. And that's what Rabbi Shmuel did. The way the Maharal puts it, he puts it in a scary way, so to speak. He says, this is kiviyachol a symbiotic relationship. We gain, certainly, by having more of Hashem upon us. And kiviyachol, like we just said, George just pointed out, we are expanding Hashem's honor. The more Hashem is manifest in this world, the more present He is in this world, the more people see Hashem's bracha in this world, the more they're seeing Him. That expands His honor, kiviyachol. Put this into another perspective. It says that in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, just so we should appreciate a little bit what we're missing without a Beis HaMikdash. Not in the first Beis HaMikdash. Time of the second Beis HaMikdash. It says, first of all, I have all these fantastic descriptions of what the fruit of Eretz Yisrael were like. It says that wheat grew to the size of kidneys. That was what the bracha was like in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now that sounds really great. If you ever need a good reason to really, really want Mashiach to come, it's because chaval to have to fill a whole chalent pot with a lot of barley. Mashiach comes, one grain of barley will fill the whole bowl. Now we know why we want Mashiach. Because the grains will be the size of kidneys. What's the big myra? So you have kidneys the size of beans. Sorry, you have grains the size of kidneys. What's the myra? The answer is what it represents. You have to understand that it's not about eating fruit. It's about seeing what Hashem is doing for you. It's like even mashal of when a kid misses home. He's away from home for a long time, and he gets emotional when he thinks of his mother's meal. One minute, what's the big deal? That's the problem. You miss your mother's schnitzel. We'll buy you really good schnitzel. Understand that? No, it's all the feeling that comes along with that schnitzel. It's the warmth of sitting down to your mother's supper. So of course, if you come from a superficial way, what we're trying to do when we're talking about this wheat is like trying to explain to an orphan, right? We're orphans. We never experience what it's like to be home with our father. So you tell an orphan, it's really great to have parents because mothers make meals. Okay? There are meals in the orphanage also. Just what? It's a little better. That's the celebrated concept of a mother, is that the food is of a higher quality than in the orphanage. How can you explain it? That's what it's like when we hear about the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. When we understand that in that time, the quality of the fruit meant Hashem's presence. Everybody felt it. It's something that you can't describe to an orphan, but that's mamash what it was like. was Hashem's love. And more than that, the Goyim outside of Eretz Yisrael, when they saw the unnatural blessing that Eretz Yisrael was getting, what did they see? They saw Yesh Elokim be Yisrael. It's God in Yisrael. So yes, all of the blessing represents Hashem. You see Hashem through that blessing. So it's mamish kiviyachol symbiotic. We certainly gain, and kiviyachol Hashem profits kiviyachol by becoming more apparent in this world, by not being concealed in this world. That's what's going on in these Gemaras. That's what's going on with Hashem's tefillas kiviyachol, which I actually expressed in his request for a bracha from Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Hashem wants us to do this kiviyachol for him and for us. I keep saying kiviyachol again and again and again, but these are terms that Chazal gave us to use. Avayda tzorech gavoyahu. Our service of Hashem kiviyachol is serving His needs. While again, we have to remember that at the end of the day, it's only His need in the sense of, like when a father wants his kid to perform because he knows it's better for the kid. Hashem doesn't need anything. Okay. No. No. Okay. Hashem's din of the Mitzrayim. Sorry, I didn't follow what you're asking. Why is Rachamim a Hester? No. The natural state of the world is Shuras Hadin, not Midas Hadin necessarily. Well, you know, I want to leave that for now. I don't want to get into it. It's a long discussion. I want to leave it for now. Well, it was initially, but the truth is, Rabbi Yaakov has a point, because the greatest tzaddikim were able to subsist just with midas hadin. I want to leave that aside for now. Let's take rachamim in this context, just in the general, broader term of bestowing good. Okay. V'kamash malon. And now the Gemara just notes, kind of parenthetically, that what is part of the point? The Gemara gets another point out of this, besides everything we just discussed. Maybe the Gemara, all that was obvious, didn't have to be mentioned. What do we get out of this? Shaloitei birkas hedit kalaveinecha. Never take the blessing of a simpleton lightly. Maybe this answers your question. Yes, despite the immense distance between Hashem and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Hashem valued the bracha provided kiviyachol by Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Okay. What? Yeah, this is one of the sources. Okay. We move on. Right. The Gemara is making another point. It's another point. Another point. That has to be viewed. Yeah. Now, on to a completely different subject. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, how do we know that you should not attempt to appease a person when he's angry? Diksev, it says in the pasuk, "Panai elecho v'ani choisilach." Let my anger pass, and then I'll grant you your request. This is Hashem talking to Moshe during the negotiation, so to speak, after the Chet HaEgel. So Hashem said, "Let my anger pass, and then I'll grant what you want." Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Hashem was telling Moshe was, Hamtainli ad sheyagru panim shel zam. Wait until my current state of anger, so to speak, passes. Vaniach lecha, and then I'll grant what you want. Now, Hashem is not like us. By us, anger is a response. Hashem, it's a decision. It's a conscious decision. Now it's appropriate to apply the Midah of Kas. As we'll see soon, it's actually a regular part of the schedule. It's time in the day of Kas. So actually, what was going on here was very interesting. Moshe started davening for something. And Hashem told him, don't daven now. It'll be a better idea for you to daven later. We'll have better results. Right now is a Shas Kas. I prefer that you daven. I want you to get the maximum out of your tefillah. Wait for the time of Kas to pass. So now the Gemara is, on the Ikka, what? Oh, so at the Gemara is inferring from what we just said about Hashem that Hashem often with the things that He'll tell people are meant also as lessons in Derech Eretz and how you should be performing in interpersonal relationships too. So the truth is, on one level, it's mamish the same thing with a person. Realize that talking to a person while he's upset is going to achieve very compromised results in the best case. Strategy wise, it's just more prudent to wait till later. But, Shakoya. But there's some more to this also. The Rishonim put a little more significance into this also. Come from a couple of different angles. First of all, if you speak to a person while he's angry, not only are you likely to not achieve, if you try to appease him while he's mad, not only are you not likely to achieve what you're trying to get, but you're likely to exacerbate things. So again, it's not prudent. Even more, they say you might be setting him up for a mikshol. You might cause him to react even worse. But then other Rishonim come from an opposite angle and they say it's not nice towards the person who's angry. Meaning, this is also sensitivity that a person should develop. Somebody was just hurt. For you to come and start explaining to them why it's okay, it's not what they need right now. Be sensitive to his feelings. He's hurt. Show him that you identify with the fact that he's hurt. Show him that you feel for him. Yes, that hurts. That hurts. By coming right away and explaining, no, it's fine. It's an expression, I think it's an expression more used in Hebrew than in English. I never heard it in English. But in Hebrew, the kid falls to the ground. What do you say? Lo kara klum. Nothing happened. It's a common expression. When you're picking the kid up from the ground, it's a very common expression. Lo kara klum. Nothing happened. And that's going to make the kid feel good. Oh, I must have imagined it. It's all in the brain, as they say. I thought it was in my knee. Oh, don't tell the kid that. Don't say lo kara klum. Nothing happened. Say, that must have hurt. That's what we're being told here. Afterwards, you tell him it's okay. Okay. Yes, empathize. Okay. Now, what exactly is going on with Hashem? Let's see. We're going to analyze this concept of Hashem's anger. Does Hashem have wrath? Now this is a surprising question. We just have to put this question into perspective, because what kind of question is that? The Torah is full of it. Vayicharaf Hashem, all over the place. Sure. When people do wrong things, Hashem is angered. What's the Gemara's question here? Well, the answer is that the Gemara's understanding that Hashem, actually the Mepharshim point out, that this was not immediately after the eagle. This was afterwards. After Hashem already said, okay, I'm not going to destroy them. Moshe came back up to Har Sinai to discuss the next step. And Moshe started asking for all kinds of other things, as we'll see soon. He said, I want your Shekhinah to come with us, and I don't want it to be with the Goyim. Moshe is giving a whole wish list to Hashem. So Hashem told him, now is not a good time. This is the time of day that I'm angry. And therefore, you'll do better waiting. So that's what the Gemara is asking. Yes, we see in Tanakh that Hashem might respond with anger to an Avera. But to be saying that, no, Hashem has a time in the day, 11 o'clock, time to be angry, that surprising? Why would anger be a built-in part of Hashem's schedule? The Gemara says, in. Yes, it is. Which also, again, is Mamish bringing home the point that Hashem's anger and our anger is two different things. Hashem's anger is a midah that He decides needs to be implemented at certain times. And therefore, yes, yes, it's once a day when He implements the midah of anger. That's what the Ramchal says. Hashem has midahs and we have midahs. The fundamental difference between Hashem's midahs and our midahs is that we're subject to our midahs. Our midahs control us. Whereas Hashem, His midahs are simply buttons that He pushes. So now, in, yes, the Tanya says in the Braisa, Vekel Zoyeim Bechol Yoyim, Hashem grows angry every day. Yes, it's a built-in part of the schedule. Let's see. Vekama Zama. Now, how long is that angry period of the day? Rega, an instant. But it's there every day and it's significant. Kama Rega. Alright, it's an instant. How long is an instant? So the Gemara gets very precise. Echad. One out of 58,000 it's a 58,888th of an hour. That's approximately a 16th of a second. The Zohi Rega, that is the amount of time that Hashem is angry. The schedule, meaning the regular, predictable anger of Hashem every day. What? At what? Well, we might see soon at what. Meanwhile, what we're understanding is Hashem, it's a necessary part of Hashem's schedule. Why this should be, the Sfarim actually say that even if we'll just take it as is, that it's not as a result of everything, anything, he's not angry at anything. He's just angry. That's the time of the day when he's angry. What's the meaning of that? So the meaning is, Lamaisa, that there are different midas that Hashem works with. There's midas rachamim, there's midas hadin, right? And they're all necessary. They counterbalance each other. They make sure that everything is balanced right. What's that? Kas is an expression of midas hadin. Kas is an expression of midas hadin. Why? Why not? What is midas hadin? What is midas hadin? It has nothing to do with our kas. But kas by Hashem is a decided mode of behavior. Midas hadin is kas. It's like the Kadmonim say, anger, Hashem's anger is different than our anger. When Hashem meets out judgment, that's called acting angrily. Hashem's anger is not an emotion. It's something that He does. And therefore, yes, Midas Hadin is Hashem's anger. Almost synonymous. I put it a little differently. Anger is one of the outgrowths of Midas Hadin. So therefore, basically, all the Gemara is saying here is that Midas Harachamim is a regular part of the Bria. Midas Hadin is also a regular part of the Bria. That means that it has to actually manifest regularly. So it manifests this once a day, and it's applied as necessary, as needed, depending on the situation. But that's what it is. Again, anger is not an emotion by Hashem. It's simply something that He does. That is Midas Hadin.
Earlier that it says a third of his day is a sin.
What's that?
A third of Hashem's day is a sin.
Judging the... Yeah. You're referring to Gemara. In judging. That's something else. That's not Midas Hadin. It's the same word. Judging. Judging is not the same as Midas Hadin. When Hashem judges on Rosh Hashanah, we ask that He judge us with Midas HaRachamim. Midas Hadin means the harsh midah of the letter of the law. That's Midas Hadin. Now, the Ein Kabriya Yecholah Lechaven Ois Hashah. No one can pinpoint exactly when that is, except Chutz Mi Bilam Ar Rasha. There was one Miyuchas, one VIP, who was able to pinpoint it. Bilam, that was his big power. He was able to hit the exact instant, that 58,888th of an hour, that Hashem grows angry at, and he was able to use it. Diksivbe, it says about Bilam, Ve'yodea das Elyon. He knows supreme knowledge, meaning he knows how Hashem's kiviyochol, how Hashem's das works, Hashem's mindset. Now, does that really mean that Bilam understands kiviyochol how Hashem's mind works? Ashto das behemtoi lo aviyoga. Chazal can't resist getting in a dig. He didn't understand how his donkey's head worked. Das Elyon aviyoga. He understands how Hashem's mind works. Rather, what it means is he knew this one element of how Hashem works. He knew exactly to pinpoint when it is that Hashem grows angry. And that was his big power. That was how he used the koiches that he had to curse, etc. Hashem works with our time. It means in our time. Now, V'hainu da'omalu navi liYisrael. So actually, we're saying that yes, Hashem has this built-in anger in his schedule. That was Bilam's power to tap into that. So now we understand that what was Bilam trying to do when he was trying to curse the Jews? He knew exactly what he was doing. He was waiting for that instant and ready to draw on it, bring forth a curse against the Jews. Now that was dangerous. That was dangerous. What did Hashem do? V'hainu da'omalu navi bi Yisrael. And that's really what the Navi meant when he told Klal Yisrael, Ami, my nation, zechor no mayo'atz Bolok melech Moab. Remember the plot of Bolok, the king of Moab. Uman ono yisrael Bilam ben Ba'or. That's a continuation of the pasuk. And what Bilam ben Ba'or responded, Lema, and then the pasuk concludes and says, "Lemandas sidkos Hashem." Remember the plot of Balak, Bilam's answer, in order to appreciate the righteousness of Hashem. What does that mean? My lemandas sidkos Hashem. What does that mean? In order to appreciate, we should study Balak's plot in order to appreciate Hashem's righteousness. Omar Rabbi Elozar. Omar lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. What Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael is as follows. Du'u kametztokos osisi imachem. You should know how righteous I was with you. Sheloi ka'asti bimei Bilam HaRasha. Hashem deviated from his schedule. I did not grow angry in the days of Bilam HaRasha. That was what was really going on behind Balak's plot and Bilam's response. Balak was telling Bilam, new curse. What did Bilam kept saying? Bilam kept saying, it's not working. What was behind it? Tidkos Hashem. Hashem's righteousness. It wasn't working because the anger wasn't happening. What's that?
Why would Hashem get angry at the Jewish people? Should be angry at Balaam and Balaam.
Well, anger is just a state that a person who knows how to manipulate it, like Bilam did, can direct it wherever he wants. It's a scary thing. That was actually Bilam's power, to be able to direct it. That was what he wanted to do. You're asking what would there have been any need for this whole ploy if the Jews hadn't done the Chet Egel? You're probably right. You're probably right.
Wait,
now it says.
The started after Chet Egel.
No. It doesn't say that. It said that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. The time that he was davening, there was constant. Hashem was telling him, "You're davening at the wrong time. This is my time of day that I'm angry." Not as a result of Chet Egel. Hashem has that. Yeah, that's built into Hashem's daily schedule.
It's not just blind anger,
yeah, it's thin. And that's something that can be tapped into by a person who knows how to access it and get it at the guy who stole your parking space yesterday. That's what Bilam did. What's that? Good question. We'll get there. Everybody's asking the same question. What could Bilam have said in a 58,888th of an hour?
No, my question is slightly different. My question is the same thing, but on Moshe. Hashem is saying, Moshe, wait for another hour.
Also a good question. Okay, so you're asking Tosis' question, you're asking the Tzlach's question. Let's see, what? No, Noach is asking a different question. He's asking, Hashem told Moshe, don't daven now, wait. Yeah, what's there to wait for? Jonathan is asking, what did Bilam want to say? What was he? What curse can you get in a 58,888th of an hour? Oh, okay, well, how was he able to do it? Tosis says that. We'll see. Shilmalika, see, whatever it is Hashem says, would I have gotten angry at that in those days? There wouldn't have been any remnants left of the Jewish people. And that's really what Bilam went when he told Balak, quite literally. What did Bilam tell Balak? Bilam told Balak, how can I curse if Hashem's not cursing? How can I invoke anger if Hashem's not angry? According to this Gemara, we understand that Imamish meant it literally. There's no anger there. My whole koyach is to access the anger. There's no anger there. I have nothing to do. So this shows us that yes, in those days he did not grow angry. So now let's address the questions that were raised here. So first of all, Elam is asking, what could Bilam have said in that 58,888th of an hour? So Taisa said he wanted to say one word, Kalein. Finish them all. Now there's more depth to that, but just that doesn't really answer the question, because Kalein takes significantly longer than a 58,888th of an hour. That's a 16th of a second. So actually, if you look on the side here of the Gemara, there's a different reading of the Gemara, which makes it much less. Sorry, the fraction is much less. It's a much higher number, which actually comes out to a much longer time span, about a third of a second. That already is enough time to say the word Kalein. Finish them all. That's one answer that Tosis gives. But the other answer that Tosis gives is, Bilam didn't have to finish his curse. He didn't have to give his whole exposition in that one instant. He had to start then. The point was to start then. And he knew how to pinpoint it exactly. And once he would start, he could keep it going for a whole Shemana Esrei of curses against the Jewish people. Those are Tosis' two answers. Now, regarding the other question, we'll see at the end of the sugya what the answer to that would be. You know. What's that?
Moshe Rabbeinu starts that time, or
if Tefillah
goes over that time.
You're saying that Moshe may have hit exactly on that time.
Or if it's coming up in the middle.
Okay, if it will hit.
Wait until after 5 minutes.
I don't know if that's so, because Tosis seems to imply that just to be in the middle of talking when that time hits wouldn't necessarily do it. We'll see soon in the Gemara. You got to start exactly then. That was the whole Chachma of Vilma Rasha. You have to start exactly then. Yeah. Now. That's right. Okay. So now. V'kamozamoy. Now the Gemara is a surprising question. We're coming back and asking the same question we asked before. How long is that anger? Rega, an instant. Same question, same answer. The Kamarega, how long is an instant? Same next question. But different next answer. Omar Rabbi Ovin, the Itema Rabbi Avina, Rega Kememe. Rega means the amount of time it takes to say Rega. That's how long it is. About a third of a second. What's going on? We already gave a different answer to the question earlier. So, Yerushalmi actually presents it as a machloikis. If we're going with the reading that we had here in the Gemara, a 58,888th of a second, that's a lot shorter than the amount of time it takes to say Rega. It's two opinions according to Yerushalmi. But others learn that it's actually the same time. The Gaon learns this way, apparently going with the other reading of the Gemara. It says that simply before the Gemara gave us a fraction of an hour, the Gemara now is asking, practically, what does that mean? And the Gemara answers, Rega. Once we know that it's Rega, the amount of time it takes to say Rega, then we understand that yes, Bilam could have gotten in Kalem. Finish them off. Now, what? It's long. Yeah. Like we said, instead of a 16th of a second, it's a 1/3 of a second, which, yes, is much longer. Yeah. Now, ve'emas rotach. Now, when is that anger? Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, ba'hanach telas sho'i kamaisa. It's within the first 3 hours of the day. You want to know exactly when? You can see it in the following way. Ki chivri karbalte de tarnegoyle. When the crown of a rooster turns white. Rooster has a red crown. When the crown turns white, when it pales, the koya chad kara. While the rooster is standing on 1 foot. Sometimes roosters stand on 1 foot. When you see the crown paling while he's standing on 1 foot within the first 3 hours of the day, that's the moment. The Gemara asks, what? Any rooster. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, kol shata v'shata nami koyochi. This is a common thing with roosters. Apparently, anybody who's familiar with roosters knows that they often stand on one leg, and their crowns often pale. What's so special about this? It's also not just once a day. And the Gemara answers, no. Kol shata is be'suraike sumke. You're right. Its crown often pales, but usually it still has red veins. You'll see the red veins standing out. But at that time it completely pales. Even the veins, even the red veins pale. You don't see any red in the rooster's crown. That's the time when, that's the moment of Hashem's anger to be offered. Okay, where in the middle of the discussion, we'll continue this next time, Bezras Hashem. I'll just note, we're as part of the process.